Shabbat Shalom and welcome to Kehilat Tenuva, The Harvest, a Messianic Charismatic Congregation in Thornton, Colorado. You're listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. Our goal is to provide, for free, the message of the Torah from a Messianic Judaic perspective. Here's Pastor Mark.
So due to the season we're in, I want to talk about freedom. I want to talk about liberty. In fact, I've named this teaching, Give Me Liberty, But Please Excuse Me from Any Responsibility. Isn't it true? Isn't it true that we're always excited about liberty, but typically we want that liberty with no strings attached? And I want to propose there is no such freedom. Not true freedom. Not true freedom. In fact, I would suggest that most people want a narcissistic type of freedom, a freedom that's all about them, right? A liberty to do what you want to do rather than what you ought to do. Freedom from any and all restraints. This is an aberrant view of true liberty. Let me give you some examples of a narcissistic view of freedom, and there's many. I could just go for another 30, 40 minutes describing different types of narcissistic freedom that we see all around us. But I'm going to give you just a sample of what a narcissistic view of freedom looks like. Think for a moment of the immorality of the sexual revolution that started in the 60s. Sexual freedom is what America clamored for, right? And that was a freedom to do whatever you wanted with whomever or whoever you wanted at any time you wanted. It was free sex unrestrained by marriage. Freedom to throw away our children whom we conceive. Freedom to have sex with whoever we choose, including those of the same sex. Freedom to have sex with our pets. It's called bestiality. God didn't give us a command concerning bestiality because it's nowhere to be found. It's actually to be found in many places among those who have abandoned God in his ways. The sexual revolution brought us a freedom to redefine marriage to fit and legitimize our abominations. Freedom to oppress and even persecute those whose traditional biblical views of sexuality and marriage and family come to the forefront. Think of those who were fired by simply posting on their personal Facebooks that they were pro-traditional marriage. People lost jobs over this, their careers, over simply lining up with a biblical view of marriage and family. In fact, Facebook has given now 58 different gender options for its users to identify themselves. Sexual freedom. 58 different choices to identify your gender. Are you confused yet? I get confused with just the two from time to time. 58 and growing. Now, Target says you can use any restroom or dress room you want based on your feelings of gender identity. That's their new, they're in the forefront of all this. They're leading the way, right? So they've just come out in public and they've announced that you have a right to use either bathroom, either dressing room, based on your feelings of gender. How you define your own gender. Now, as a public and for-profit business in the United States, Target currently has every right. In fact, every business has every right to make that provision and policy under our laws. So what's a kingdom person to do, right? Well, you have every right under the same laws to take your hard-earned cash somewhere else. In fact, 1.1 million pro-kingdom people did just that about 2 weeks ago. Currently, the retail giant has taken a $2.5 billion hit since letting grown men in women's restrooms and dressing rooms. After executives announced the change, shares dropped 6% in just 10 days. Now, for freedom, and under our current laws, businesses have every right to make their own policies concerning this. But the consumers have every right to decide whether they're shopped there or not. So there's many other examples that we can go into to talk about a selfish or not narcissistic form of freedom. We find that jumping up everywhere in every sphere of our culture, our society, even around the world. And it's just ramping up. It's just amazing. But I want to propose that true freedom is the authority and power, the authority and the power to live a righteous life. That's true freedom. It is. If you're bound up in sin and confused and deceived, you have no freedom. It's only when you're set free and you're able to live in a way that's dignified and noble and right are you and I truly free. This is to be fully human as God intended. To love Him, each other, and the world that we live in. Any and all self-centered views of liberty are a ruse. We see and begin to understand true liberty as we embrace and observe the memorials of God's actions in human history. What we choose to give our attention to, what we choose to focus on, what we choose to practice actually begins to undergird us and begins to shape our views and understanding, leading to how we live our lives. That's why it's so important to live within the construct of what God has given us. These festivals, these holy days, the Shabbat, all of this is shaping us, freeing us, and empowering us to live fully human as God intended us. Today we'll briefly review some of these stories. We'll note, of course, their initial fulfillment in the Messiah. And we will apply these truths to our lives as individuals, as families, as congregations, as Israel, God's chosen and treasured people. We have a mandate. We're to be a light to the nations. Our lives matter. Our lives are making a difference in this world. The world is counting on us even though they don't know it. You're important. Your life counts and it makes a difference. So we're going to take these truths that we learn week in and week out. We're going to take these truths to every sphere of our lives. In our family, to our businesses, education and the arts, sports and entertainment, politics and government. I know that is a big task right now. Wow. Military, foreign policy, monetary system, economics. We need to apply the principles of God's word in all of these realms, in all of these areas. Faith without works is dead unless we take what we're learning and implement it and apply it and take it to all these spheres. There's no transformation. If we're going to reform every aspect of our society for the glory of God, then we must be a witness in those realms that God has given to us, those spheres of influence, and we must bring His love and His truth into those realms. That's how we reform society. That's how we come back into the blessings of God. We've moved away from God, away from His ways. And then we look around and say, what are we going to do with all of our problems? Hey, let's build an 80-foot wall. Is that going to solve our problem of immigration? You know what God says concerning immigration? He says, if you're unwilling to serve me and you just want a narcissistic freedom, then I'll allow the curses to come. And one of those is, the alien shall overwhelm you and become greater in number until they become the head and you become the tail. We don't need a wall. We need a return to the Lord and His ways. He'll take care of those issues. He'll give us wisdom to straighten that out. We got to come back to Him. We keep chopping off branches of our problems rather than laying the axe at the root of the tree that produces all those problems. We've got to come back to a genuine faith in the Mashiach, embrace His kingdom and His ways, and live for His glory. That's what's going to change the nation. I pray for our leaders every day. I'm praying for those that are running for office. I'm telling you right now, you know, it's not the Antichrist or the Messiah that we're voting for. No such thing. They are men and women we are voting for. And so you need to find who's lining up with the principles of the Torah and cast your vote, realizing that they alone will never change the nation. They're just one piece of thousands of pieces. But if our hearts aren't right and we're not representing the Lord and bringing people into His kingdom, then those votes really don't make much of a change whatsoever. I'm going to vote. It's part of our freedom. And I'm going to vote in line with God's word. I don't care about parties. I care about whether people line up with the word of God. And I'm not going to deceive myself into thinking that if I could just get my man or woman into office, everything's going to be okay. No, that'd be a Messiah, and there's only one. But I'm still going to vote for the best person that we have to represent us, to move us along that path. And I'm going to vote for that man or woman that understands that our nation, our United States Constitution, is predicated on an earlier document called the Declaration of Independence. And if they line up with the glory that's found in that document, I'm good to vote for them. Hallelujah. I'm going to ignore the question who I'm going to vote for. Yeah, I heard that. So, here's my proposal. I suggest that as we advance the kingdom and build the kingdom, that heaven's blessings will return to our nation. That if we fail to do that, it doesn't matter what else we do. We won't find the blessing. Blessings come from heaven, from God's hand. We need to return to Him and to live in a freedom that's noble and righteous, not a narcissistic freedom that is all about me. I propose that everyone truly wants to be free. God is free. He made us in His image. The desire to be free beats in every heart. As I stated, the U.S. Constitution is based on our Declaration of Independence, which clearly states, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These inalienable rights, these rights that come from heaven, are not just American rights. They are human rights. Everyone's rights. And they come from God. They don't come from man. Be that man a king or collectively a democracy. Our rights come from God. And it's not enough to be alive. That's our first right, the right to be alive, to live our lives. But it's not enough to be alive. We must be free. But freedom always comes with a great cost. We are born into a world that's dark and confusing and oppressive, a world that enslaves every one of us from birth. The fight for freedom and the fight for liberty is a fight that every generation must wage. Freedom always comes with a great cost. That's the stories that we read throughout the Bible. That's the story of Egypt and the Exodus. And I want to suggest not only does it come with a great cost, but it comes commensurate with responsibilities and restraints in order to ensure that the freedom is real and full of integrity. So let's look at the liberty found in some of these stories of old that we've been addressing. Let's look at Passover. Passover taught us and illustrates that we are saved by grace through the blood of the Lamb. We are saved from our Egypts by God's grace. He came to us and saved us in Egypt. It was a picture of His grace and His love when no one was crying out, "Save us, O God," because they were so despondent through decades of slavery that they'd lost all hope. God, though, came at the right time, sending a deliverer to come and save them. And Passover is symbolic of that salvation, as depicted in the sacrificial blood of the Lamb that they put on their doorposts of their homes. God promised Abraham much earlier that He would provide for Himself a lamb for sacrifice. And in the first century, that Lamb of God was manifested in Israel. In fact, the great Jewish prophet, Yochanan, John the Immerser, when he saw Yeshua, he pointed at Him and he exclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." 1 Peter chapter 1, 17 through 19. "If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." This is what secured our freedom. This is the love of God coming to us and providing for us the way out of our own Egypts of sin and shame. And this Passover included deliverance from the oppression and bondage of Egypt as well. Egypt was symbolic of the dominion of sin, the dominion of Satan himself. That's why the pharaohs had on their crowns or on their head pieces a snake to symbolize Egypt and their authority, a serpent. Go and figure. It's so easy to connect the dots once you understand all the stories, right? That's kind of a clue that I don't like this king. I don't think his kingdom's like going to be full of liberty. In Colossians 1:13, it states this: "For he," Yeshua, "rescued us from the domain of darkness." I'm sorry. "For he," God, "rescued us from the domain of darkness," the dominion of darkness, "and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." We're later told by Paul, not only are we transferred out of the dominion, out from under the authority of the serpent, the one who has ruled us, oppressed us, persecuted us, lied to us, deceived us, the one who is stealing our very lives, but he's transfer us into the kingdom of His Son. His Son's the great liberator. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 6, it says this: we have been raised up with Him and seated with Him in heavenly places. We are seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. This is everything when you think about it. What does the world clamor for? Oh, they want to be happy. In fact, that's the third right that comes: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Everyone wants to be happy, and they pursue things and careers, ideas, in search of happiness. It's something we all long for and desire. And God says, in My Son, there is peace and joy and happiness. Amen. And we've been transferred from this kingdom of darkness, this kingdom of sin and shame, into the kingdom of His beloved Son. And I can tell you right now, I can't explain it. I just know it's true. I've experienced this peace and this joy and this happiness ever since I've been born again. And it's growing, growing, growing. You know, I woke up the other morning, I had to shut my window because I got this bird that shows up like at like 4 in the morning. It's not even light yet. And it's out there just chirping away, you know, whistling. And I'm thinking, man, I can't sleep with that bird. I have to shut the window. I tie a t-shirt around my head to keep sun out and noise out. Like that little bird. And I was so mad the other morning, I got up and I went outside. I'm trying to figure out, where is this bird? And there it was. It was on the tallest house right behind me. 3-story house on the very top, as high as it could get, unrestrained, so it could just sing. He gets up every morning, lands there, sings on the moment, and just goes for hours. And I thought to myself, that is one happy little bird. And what I realized is this: the work of God's love and grace in me has actually caused in me what He's caused in that little bird. When I'm happy and full of joy, you know what I do? I sing too. I find myself singing. I'm acting goofy. I'm just like, you'd think I'd been drinking or something. Filled with the Holy Spirit. A joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that is that quality of life that we all look for and seek for. And it's in the Messiah. And He's not only forgiven us, He's not only cleansed us and received us and loved us, He not only remains faithful even when we're not, He's raised us up and He has seated us in the heavenlies. And that's important because we're in a dark world that has a lot of beings that are after us. Lying spirits, they want to steal, they want to pillage, they want to snuff our lives out. That's the work of the enemy. That's this world that we live in. God sent His Son to set us free from that. Ephesians. I want to read this, chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, seated Him at His right hand, in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. We are free in Him. We have authority to live free. We have authority over all of the rulers and princes and powers and darkness in this world. We are the children of the King. We are above all that. We need to take authority over those things in our lives that those beings try to use to bring us down. Sin is a dominion. Sin is a ruler. And God has sent His Son to set us free. 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God, that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The whole world is under the spell of the evil one. And he is a seducer, a liar. His kingdom is a kingdom of confusion. 58 different gender assignments. It's confusion. It's mass confusion. So then he has this legalizing pot to deal with the confusion. Man, it's endless. On a more sober note, think of the madness of ISIS and the genocide of Christians who have become the new Jews today in terms of genocide simply for believing in Jesus Christ. Not only will you lose your life in many places where ISIS is, they will crucify you. This brutal form of death that was in the Romans, the bizarre, you know, last final great beast with iron legs and iron teeth, describing its inhumane and devastating, cruel forms of punishment. ISIS has raised it back up and uses crucifixion to humiliate, spread fear, to try to stop the church, the congregation of the Lord in different places in the globe. This is a dark, cruel world with a lot of dark rulers, evil rulers, that are under the spell of evil spirits that are trying to destroy and wreak havoc everywhere. And the kingdom of God is advancing, is the antidote, and is overcoming all of that. You and I are part of that kingdom. So, I'm going to finish this next week. But we're in the counting of the Omer as we come out. We're coming out in order to go in. We need to understand who we are in Christ, take authority over our lives, and live responsibly in this freedom that's been given to us, and then go and extend that freedom to others and change the world around us. We will change this world. Messiah shall have dominion, and by his Spirit in us, he will accomplish it. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me.
Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And we add, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, the Prince of Peace, so you shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Yivarech Adonai ve'ishmerecha, Yaher Adonai panavalecha, Ve'ihunecha, Isa Adonai, Panavalecha, Ve'asemlecha, Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.
You've been listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. We hope you have found this teaching relevant and challenging for your life. If you are in the Metro Denver area, please join us on Shabbat. Service starts at 1 p.m. and ends at 3 p.m. Kehila Tenuva is located at 8891 Pose Boulevard in Thornton, Colorado, just a few miles north of downtown Denver. For more information, please visit www.graftedin.com. That's www.graftedin.com. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 29993, Thornton, Colorado 80229. For inquiries, please call 303-761-9948 or email info@graftedin.com. Thank you for listening to the Shabbat message. Shabbat Shalom and Shavua Tov.